Let's open up our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Reading the entire chapter, the text is the verses 7 through 10. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. This is God's inspired word. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think you that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. That's why we read the text. The sermon this evening is based on the verses 7 through 10. So I'll read these verses once again. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word brought this evening. Heavenly Father, we look to thee, for to who else do we turn to for all that we need? We need instruction from thee. We need blessing from thee. We need thy Spirit to accompany the word preached, that we may be blessed together under the preaching. So, Lord, we beseech thee, grant that unto us. Hear us in thy love and mercy, for Christ's sake. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, after having been fed at the table of our Lord this morning, and as well also fed by the preaching of the word this morning, I am sure and certain that you are thankful to God for your salvation and also for those means of grace that was administered unto you. That means certainly strengthens your faith. But now, what if I told you that the Lord might be pleased to inflict pain upon you? Pain that is constant. Pain that is daily. And pain that lasts all life long throughout your pilgrimage. Would you still be thankful to him? Well, that's exactly what the Lord was pleased to do to the Apostle Paul in the text which we consider tonight. God would administer pain to the Apostle through a very special means of grace, that of a thorn, a painful thorn, which he gave and left embedded in the flesh of the Apostle. Notice with me then the text this evening under the theme, Grace Through Our Thorn. We'll first consider our natural desire, secondly, God's gracious purpose, and thirdly, the astounding confession. The apostle expresses his natural desire to have his thorn removed in prayer, making his request of the Lord three times. And because I truly believe that there is not one single soul in this sanctuary who would pray any differently under his circumstances, I say therefore that this too is our natural desire. So then we ask the question, what is Paul's thorn in his flesh? What is that thorn? Children, are you listening? You know what a thorn is? Literally, a thorn is a small fragment or a sliver. Think here of a small piece of wood, a sliver. I'm sure our children know what a sliver is, and some of you might have even experienced that painful thorn in your flesh. with that sliver, that small fragment of wood getting caught into your skin and embedded in your skin. What do you do, children, when that happens to you? You cry, don't you? You cry out in pain. You cry out to mom and dad for help. You cry out because it hurts so bad. Well, that's what a thorn in the flesh is, literally. But it's pretty obvious in the text that that's not what Paul was speaking of. He was not here speaking of a piece of wood, a small fragment or sliver getting caught in his skin and embedded in his skin. Rather, Paul was using that as a figure of speech to describe something just like that painful thorn in a person's flesh, one that agonizes him and his soul, one that causes him anguish, one that hurts, gives him spiritual anguish and pain. And so, we ask, what exactly was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Well, if you were to go through the Bible commentaries, you will find three main groups of answers as to what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. The first main group of thought is that Paul's thorn in the flesh was referring to a spiritual temptation, a sinful weakness. Think here of a weakness or addiction to a substance, alcohol addiction, and such like. That's the first main group of thought, spiritual temptation or sinful weakness. The second main group of thought as to what Paul's thorn in the flesh was that it was referring to Paul's opponents, enemies of the Apostle Paul. And surely the Lord, the Apostle, had many, many enemies. Many enemies purely from the fact that he stood firmly for the Lord and he was at the forefront of the spiritual battle, bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul had many enemies as he brought the gospel faithfully, as he stood fast to the doctrine according to godliness he brought to the mission field and to established church. And we can tell also from verse 10 that Paul speaks of suffering reproaches and persecutions, and it's not only peculiar to verse 10, but found in all his epistles. So that's the second main group of thought. That thorn in the flesh referring to Paul's enemies and opponents. And yet a third main group of thought is that Paul's thorn in the flesh was referring to a physical ailment, a bodily weakness. After all, these commentators say, Paul refers to a thorn in the flesh. And furthermore, he speaks in verse 10 of the fact that he suffered infirmities, weaknesses. So what shall we think? What do we have to say with regard to these three main groups of thought as to what Paul's thorn exactly was? Well, I stand to be corrected here, but I think that we can safely say that it can't possibly be the first main group of thought. Paul's thorn couldn't possibly be referring to a spiritual temptation or sinful weakness with the apostle. Why not? Because the apostle tells us later on that he stopped praying. He stopped praying for this thorn to be removed. Now, if this thorn was a sinful weakness, one can hardly imagine the godly Apostle Paul being content and ceasing to pray for deliverance from that sinful weakness. And I'm sure too that if you had a sinful weakness and I had a sinful weakness, we'd be praying to the Lord for deliverance daily. We'd be working out our salvation with fear and trembling also in relation to that weakness, putting off and putting away that weakness by the power of God in Jesus Christ and putting on the new man in Christ. So it's not the first main group of thought, but beloved, beyond that, we don't really know what exactly Paul's thorn in the flesh really was. It could have been Paul's enemies and any one of them. Paul's enemies could have been constantly plaguing him, reproaching him, persecuting him, mocking him. It could have been a physical ailment, a bodily weakness that stayed with the apostle. Perhaps a defect in his speech. Perhaps difficulty moving around. Something which hindered his ministry from his point of view. We cannot be certain. And we cannot be certain because the Word of God does not identify clearly and specifically what that thorn really was. But beloved, it's not only the Apostle Paul, but also many, many of God's people who have a thorn, or even thorns, plural, in our flesh. For you see, we can and we may certainly apply this text, the thorn in the flesh, very, very broadly and widely. And that is because God's Word does not identify exactly and narrowly and specifically what that thorn really was in Paul's flesh. Take a step back now, and that, beloved, is the beauty and wisdom of God's inspired Word. That's the beauty and wisdom of God's Word shining through. There are times, of course, when God's Word is specific and detailed and clear as to a specific sin, as to a specific detail in doctrine. And it's that way for our profit, that we may know clearly what God is speaking of here and what He isn't. What sin, what detail of doctrine we need to know. And then, at other times, as is the case here, God's Word is very broad and general. God does not disclose the exact thorn that is in Paul's flesh, does not give us details to that. And so, at such times then, God in His wisdom allows that and purposes that to happen so that His Word may be applied as a balm of comfort as widely as possible to God's people in need of such comfort during their pilgrimage. Verse 10, though, does give us five broad categories of Paul's afflictions wherein that thorn of his could be found. Verse 10, infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. Now, undoubtedly, the Apostle Paul suffered greatly in these ways for Christ's sake. Calling to mind ever so briefly an account of the life of the Apostle Paul in the Bible, we know that he suffered shipwrecks. He suffered whippings. He suffered imprisonments. He suffered from a lack of earthly provisions to be provided, especially when he was in prison. And of course, as a minister and apostle, he suffered distress. Also, in a very divided church at Corinth, as is evident from already the portion of 2 Corinthians we read. And he also suffered dealing with a very serious doctrinal weakness with the saints in the church at Galatia. Paul suffered many afflictions, any one of which could have been that thorn he was referring to here in these verses. It's not only the Apostle Paul, so also God's people. We suffer too, don't we? Is it not the case with you, beloved? I'm sure that there are some of us here in this sanctuary who are suffering from infirmities, that is, weaknesses, infirmities and weaknesses of old age, infirmities and weaknesses of the mind, Alzheimer's, trauma, depression, infirmities and weakness emotionally, physically, infirmities from very serious illnesses. Still more, there are some of us here tonight too who suffer from reproaches and persecutions for Christ's sake. For what? For taking a firm, loving, biblical stand in relation to a family member, an extended family member, a dear friend, someone in the church or churches, someone we know. Taking a firm, loving stand, be it on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or else some of our very narrow practices that we practice, keeping the Sabbath day holy and such like. And there are still others of us who may suffer in necessities. And here, if there are earthly, if there is suffering from earthly necessities, then at least there is the care of Jesus Christ through the deacons in the church. And if any here be lacking in earthly necessities, you may, you ought, and you must not be afraid to turn to the care of Christ through the deacons. And then there's the suffering of distresses. All kinds of distresses in all forms of shapes and sizes, known or unknown to us or among us, for Christ's sake. And so it is understandable, is it not even natural, to cry out to God, just as the Apostle Paul did, for the removal of his thorn. And that's what the Apostle did. Notice verse 8. For this thing he besought the Lord thrice, that's Old English for three times, children, that it might depart from him. Now, from the very fact that Paul asked the Lord three times, we know that this removal of this thorn meant a whole lot to him. Why exactly? We're not sure, but perhaps it could well have been that this thorn in the flesh was referring to an infirmity, a physical ailment, a physical bodily weakness that made the apostle, at least in his mind, weaker in his ministry, less effective in his ministry from his point of view? Such an explanation, of course, would certainly fit with the apostle's great spiritual desire and character, a desire to serve the Lord to the utmost. And we can certainly picture the apostle Paul then having a natural, even earnest desire to serve the Lord better and therefore plead with God urgently in the manner which he did. And so Paul prayed. And what was God's answer to him? No. No. But listen to the way he says no to his servant. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's what he told the apostle in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, what do those words mean? Well, in and of themselves, those words mean that God's grace, of course, will always be there, will always be sufficient to hold us up through a trial, to get us through. And that, of course, is true. It's not only true, it's a blessed truth of comfort. God never forsakes any one of his children. Wherever we go, wherever we might be, whatever happens to us, he is with us. He's always with us, and he's not against us, but for us. And so when we face difficulties and adversities, God always holds us up by his grace. When the storms of life come our way, we will not be overcome by them, because God is always with us, and his grace is holding us up. His grace is always sufficient and always applied to us in our lives, layer upon layer, as we heard this morning in the sermon. Grace for grace. My grace, therefore, is sufficient for thee. That we understand. And of course, all of what we said is true and right about God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for us in whatever situation we might find ourselves in. And yet, though that is correct, that is not the main point of God's answer to the apostle. For let's remember that God's answer to the apostle in its entirety is recorded in the first half of verse 9 and reads as follows. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's one complete sentence. That's one complete thought. So we need to look at the whole sentence. So what is the main point of God's answer to the apostle, to his request that his thorn be removed? This. His strength. Will be applied to the apostle. His strength, which is his grace. A grace made perfect in weakness. Will be sufficient for the apostle. In his weakness. In other words, God is saying to the Apostle Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn from you. I'm going to leave it there. You will receive grace from me But you will receive grace from me in weakness. That is to say, you will receive grace from me through, not apart from, exactly through that thorn. That thorn will be God's special, personalized means of grace for the apostle. You will experience grace in weakness. In your weakness, you will look up to me and you will receive grace from me in that weakness through your painful thorn. In so doing, that is, in giving the apostle Paul and leaving that thorn in his flesh, God had a gracious purpose. God had a gracious purpose in denying Paul's request. And we will discover that gracious purpose by understanding God's answer to Paul's request in verse 9 in detail. To begin with, let's remember what God's grace is. What is God's grace? Three things here. First and most fundamentally, let's remember that grace is beauty. So when grace is applied to God, it's referring to His infinite beauty, His exquisite beauty, His wondrous beauty. So first, grace is referring to beauty. And then second, it describes God's beautiful attitude towards us, His people, in Jesus Christ. And what is that attitude? That of favor and love. Unmerited, undeserved favor. And great, great, greatest love for us in His Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, thirdly, it refers to His amazing power and strength to make us dead and ugly sinners according to our nature, beautiful in Jesus Christ. And it is this third meaning that we have here in the text. It's referring to the power of Christ from the cross of Christ that is applied to the apostle through that thorn. This grace of God, we are told, must be made perfect. That is to say, the idea here now here is not so much perfection, but rather this. It must be brought to the goal. It must be brought to the end and purpose for which the God of grace has designed it to be, and designed it for His dear, dear children, for you and me. When God's grace brings us up to that goal, that purpose, and that end for which He has designed, it is made perfect. And this grace of God is perfected, comes to its end and goal and purpose, we are told further, in weakness. Whose weakness? Our weakness. And in particular, our weakness confessed. When we say in our heart of hearts to God, in our pain, in the midst of our trial. God, help me. I need your help. I can't go through this trial. I can't accomplish the task. I can't do what you ask me to do. I confess my weakness. I confess my dependence upon you. I need your grace, your strength, and your abiding presence and blessing in my life. Then, and only then, does this grace of God bring us, bring you, and bring me, as it brought the apostle to the goal and end for which God intended it and designed it to be. And so, for this reason, all pride must be drained from our souls. And that, beloved, is exactly the gracious purpose of God in giving Paul his thorn. Painful thorn, and for refusing to remove that thorn. That thorn was going to drain the apostle, to empty the apostle from all pride. It was to bring the apostle down and down and down and low through giving him his weakness, but also grace through that thorn. We recall, don't we, what the apostle himself said at the beginning of the text in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. That's Paul confessing that he was proud. Paul here informs us that on hindsight, looking back in his life as he is doing, he was given this thorn lest he should be exalted above measure. That this is the case is beyond a shadow of doubt because he repeats that phrase at the very end also of verse 7. Verse 7 reads, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul here is confessing his need to be brought low, to be humble, humble, humble by the law. And so God gave that thorn and left it in his flesh to reduce the apostle to dust and ashes, to really nothing. He did so to empty him and drain him of pride. Only then is grace made perfect in him. Spelling that out clearly for us, the point of God bringing the apostle low, of reducing Paul to nothing, was to remove all self-reliance, all self-dependence, depending on his own strength and wisdom, and therefore all exaltedness. To drain him and to empty him out so that he would cry out, God, I am nothing. I have nothing. I need help and strength from you to live through the day and to function as your servant. Please grant that strength unto me. And then God hears his cry, because God has seen in the apostle true humility and a real, sincere confession of total dependence upon him. Day by day, God sees this, God hears the apostle, and God grants grace upon grace, grace for grace to him through that thorn. That's how God made the apostle a better servant of his, a better child of God, a better apostle, missionary, and preacher in his church and kingdom. And so also, beloved, our unchanging God of love works the same way with you and I. In regard to our own specific callings, stations in life, in regard to our own specific circumstances of life. Just as with Paul, God gives to us our thorn, or even thorns, plural, that so hurt us and refuses to take that away from us for the exact same reason, to bring us low, to humble us, to drain us of our pride, to drain out every iota of self-reliance, self-dependence on our own strength, wisdom to live and to serve him, so that we too cry out with the apostle, I am nothing, I have nothing, I need your grace. Please give that to me, even the grace sufficient for the day, each day of my life. Then just as with the apostle, God also hears our prayers. He gives grace anew to us each day when we cry out to him and in total dependence of him. In that way too, under those circumstances, grace is made perfect in weakness with us. And we say, together with the apostle, when I am weak, then am I strong. Our weakness points us heavenward to look up to him who is our only source of strength. When I am weak, then am I strong. And that's how too, like Paul, we become a better person, a better child of God, a better servant of his, more effective and fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. That the apostle received grace through his thorn becomes clear to us by that astounding confession he makes in the text. Did you see that? Most gladly, he says, therefore will I rather glory, that is, take pleasure in my infirmities. What an astounding confession. For did you notice, beloved, how different that confession would have been if it was made according to his human nature? Which one of us here in and of ourselves, according to our nature, would say, most gladly will I rather take pleasure in my weakness? Absolutely none. A natural response would have been that of discontentment, bitterness, doubt. It would have asked the question, does God even care for me anymore? The cry, on the other hand, of him who has received grace and grace through his painful thorn is most gladly, gladly will I rather glory, take pleasure in my infirmities. For they point me up, they remind me to look up to him for the strength I need for each day. This, beloved, is the cry of him who has been touched by God and by his amazing grace through his painful thorn, put and left in place by our Heavenly Father in his love. And this is the grace that is asked anew each day, given anew each day, that sustains us, that shapes us, and molds us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you not therefore thankful to your God for his unfathomable good ways of love unto us? May grace flow like a steady river through those thorns, so that the astounding confession of the apostle also more and more be yours and mine. And so, beloved, we conclude on a note of victory tonight, because there is victory found in the astounding confession of the apostle. And of all who, like him, have come to terms with God's way for them through their thorn. May that note of victory also be yours and mine. Amen. Lord, bless this word. Use it to comfort us and lift us up, especially in time of distress and trial, great affliction and trial. And cause also, use this word also to our young ones who may not be suffering much, but to have this word hid in their heart so that when they see other saints going through tough times, they may bring comfort to them, or else when they need that comfort themselves, may remember this word, and by thy Spirit, have that word applied as a balm of comfort to them. Bless us, O Lord, for we ask it for Jesus' sake.